Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, there are all different kinds of small school prospects. You have the real small school prospect who, like me, who went to a small school and played. You have other guys who went to a big school and then transfer. And so you get a Joe Flacco, he transferred from Pitt. You get a Ladarius Webb, Southern Miss. In terms of Christian Thompson, went from Auburn. Geno from West Virginia. So those guys, we call them small school players because they played small school, but they've also played big school. And because of that, they have a little different perspective than, say, me. If I went to Oklahoma, you know, it'd be totally different. So it is a little bit different. I think our scouts, we take pride in really looking at these small school guys and really being able to compare these guys to the big school guys. And I think scouting has become so good around the league that there are some good players at some of these small schools, and I think there's an opportunity there for us to maybe take advantage of our scouts and maybe find some of those guys.
Eric, you used baseball analogies in the past to describe your overview of the draft. What would your analogy be this year?
You always ask me that. I think we probably had to manufacture some runs this year. You know, we had some players that we liked, and they got picked, and we had to get creative quickly on the fly. And, you know, I thought that the trade opportunity in the first round was fantastic. We were prepared. I thought we handled that really well. Pat Moriarty and Ozzie doing the negotiating. You know, we were very organized this year, probably the most organized we've ever been in terms of all the different scenarios. You know, things don't always happen the way you want them to. Some drafts, every player that you want kind of comes to you. And then other drafts this year comes to mind. 2010 was very similar to this year. Sometimes you just get wiped out. You have four players, and all of a sudden, boom, they're gone, and you have to get creative.
You draft a wide receiver late, could you still, I mean, is there still room to bring someone else in during training camp before?
Yeah, well, you know, the roster's still fluid. And as Eric stated, you know, there will be some, there's just some unrestricted guys that's available. And then there are probably going to be some guys that's going to be waived in over the next course of the next month because people have drafted players and they're going to, you know, decide to create some cap room or just create the opportunity for a young player to get on the field. So the roster will not be completely set up until we get to September.
How's it coming to the weekend? The offensive line, there were some definite needs there. You have a chance to add a couple of guys. How much do you think the line could improve, I guess, through this draft already?
Well, I mean, we got younger. And we got both players have positional flexibility. You know, KO can be a guard or a tackle, and then Geno can be a center or guard. So, you know, when John gets down to, you know, putting the 45 together, guys that have the flexibility in the offensive line is really, really valuable. But what it does, it also allows us to put them in multiple positions and to see which one that they're best at.
Eric, were you surprised maybe that Tommy Streeter, based on size and speed, fell all the way to the sixth round? And maybe what kind of caused that? And, did you feel fortunate that he was able to kind of fall in your guys' lap there?
You know, at the time, he was the best player on our board. We were excited about him. Yeah, it's unusual to get a receiver with that kind of size who can run like that. And Ozzie alluded to another size-speed guy that we developed a long time ago, Michael Jackson. You know, these kind of guys are rare at times to have that kind of those measurables. And so if you have the chance to get a guy like that, you know, and you're in the right position in the draft, it's probably a good thing. And he was the guy. We hadn't addressed that position. There were some other guys that we liked at the receiver position that got taken. And he was clearly the best guy at the time for us to take.
How much returnability does Asa have? What does he bring as a returner, Eric?
Well, he's done some kickoffs, and he's done some punt returns. He doesn't have an extensive experience either doing both, but he's pretty good. He's a quick-footed guy. He's got some suddenness. He ran a 4.4 at the combine. You can see some burst and some twitch. He catches the ball pretty well. He'll be a guy who can go back there and compete. You know, we're not going to anoint him as the punt and kick returner, but we think he has a chance to be a guy who can compete with some other guys. We haven't even, you know, ended our looking for those kind of guys, and we'll continue to do that.
You know, and to add to that, you know, one of the reasons why that we think he can is what Eric pointed out to me earlier today is on some of his interceptions to see his ability to return for touchdowns and some of the skills he displayed once he got the ball in his hand when he intercepted the ball.
Yeah, see, in regards to the quarterback position, we haven't had a chance to ask you with the backup with Painter, the decision to bring him in and Kyle and compete. And could you go with three, or it's definitely going to be two, and they're going to fight it out with Tyrod?
Well, you know, what we did is this time of the year, you got to have enough arms. to be able to go through all the OTAs and through the mini camps, and having the opportunity to bring in Painter, Kyle, and as well and Dennis Dixon. They all did a very good job. And when we sat down with Cam and Jim Caldwell, we just thought the best fit for us right now was Painter. Whether we end up carrying three quarterbacks, I don't know. I mean, do you put a young guy on the practice squad, try to get into the practice squad and keep him and keep the third quarterback, or you just go with two because you don't want to, you know, expose a young player through the waiver process and someone else claims him. So that's part of putting together the 53, which is, like I say, a couple of months downstream.
With the O-line, were you looking for guys that can, you know, center, guard, or guard, there's a tackle that can play guard? Was that factored in, or is that just how those guys felt with Geno and KO, that they can play a number of positions?
Well, I think, you know, flexibility is critical at every position. We really look for that, and I think both guys, we've seen both guys play different positions. KO can play guard, he can play tackle, he can probably play left tackle, right tackle, possibly both guards. And Geno, you know, we've seen him on tape play center and also play guard. He plays both pretty well. So having that flexibility, some of those guys on the offense line, the most valuable guys are guys who can play more than one spot for you in a pinch. Marshall Yanda, going back to Chris Chester, he could play multiple spots. Those kind of guys really help you out when it comes time to play the games.
What do you attribute the factor that a lot of teams had similar boards to yours? I mean, are they just getting better? Does it just sometimes happen that way? And is this a draft that you'd say was just kind of frustrating in that regard?
From my perspective, I think because of all of the information that's available, it is very helpful for all of us to get that information. I mean, the way that we have the tape distribution right now through the Dub Center, we all get the same tapes. So we're all looking at the same plays. So I think that has, you know, helped the whole league, which is good, which, it, you know, forces, you know, people like Eric and myself to, you know, you have to be on your A game because, you know, other people have just as much information as you have and is able to watch the same plays that you're watching. So I think, you know, access and the information has allowed everybody else to kind of hone in. But, I mean, what it takes to win in this league, I think every team understands that now, you know. And so that, again, that draws a lot of the players the same. But as once we got past about 12 picks in the first round, the board started going in a lot of different directions. You know, they talk about the kid Irvin getting picked by Seattle and that he was in the top 15. I don't know on how many other boards, but, you know, but then it starts to scatter. But they still, you know, people are picking players that, you know, we've all had a chance to get some exposure to. You want to add anything to that?
It just was a funny kind of draft in that usually in the second round you start to see some volatility in players that you may not even have on your board at all start getting picked. And this year, really, we didn't see that very often at all, you know. And I think in looking at our 150, as Ozzie said, there might be only three guys on our 150 that haven't been drafted. And those guys are, I think, medical guys that fail physical. So that would be one explanation for that. We've never seen that. Usually we'll have 25 players, maybe 20 to 25 players that don't get drafted that are free agents that we can target. This year, our free agents, the real quality players seem to have dried up. The league is just, everybody's seen the same players, which is, we've never seen.